You have an idea for a topic?
I do.
What's the topic?
It's just like a little fun shooting the shit sort of one.
Okay, I'm all right with that.
exploring the quote unquote maker genre and what games should be in it that aren't there already.
Right, maker genre. Say more things about that
So
specifically.
like Mario Maker,
Gotcha.
like that's like turned into a thing. It like kind of exploded out onto the scene, and
Yeah.
then Nintendo kind of played around with it just the tiniest bit in
Okay, stop talking. We'll use all of that in the podcast.
just shut the fuck
I
up.
just need a clarification.
Just
I'm sorry. I know that was rude, but I was like, he's gonna keep talking. We're gonna end a conversation about it. It's not gonna be recorded.
Stop it.
Stop it, because we need that content. This sweet, sweet content. You're just throwing it out there for nothing.
Just throwing it away. It's like opening your windows in the winter and the heat's getting out. Stop it. What are you
Stop it.
doing?
Stop it. Shut that window.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good. It's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Hello, my name is Zachariah. You, dear listener, have for whatever reason chosen another horrible gaming podcast. Here at Old Man Gaming, I am not alone. Usually, I'm never alone. With me is.
Neil, aka Tiny Wizard.
I was a little off on that intro, but I think I saved it. I feel like I got all the
Good
words
enough.
in just in
Fine.
a different
I didn't
order.
notice anything until you pointed it out.
Well, that's good. That's good. You wouldn't notice
Now I
anything
noticed it at
anyway.
all.
You set cruise control when you come to this podcast, and that's it. That's mean. I don't know why he's not fighting that. I was expecting him to fight that, but
No.
yeah,
No.
no, that's not true. He came up with the topic today. We're gonna have a fun topic today because there's not a ton of news. Not a ton of news. So we're gonna talk about a fun topic today. We're gonna look at the maker genre. We've done these before. I did one with Phil. I did one with you, and we're gonna just look at the maker genre and kind of like discuss it and what's it missing, what could be used to make it better, that sort of thing. But before I get into that, of course, we have to thank the people who make this show possible. First, behind our ugly mugs, you see a custom graphic that was provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. And of course, this show and all the shows here at Old Man Gaming, their songs are
My
provided by
thongs.
this is. Fucking, this is what's gonna happen tonight, guys. It's gonna be a train wreck. It's gonna be a train wreck. My head's not in this, and that's a problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. The soundtrack, the theme song for this show and all shows here at Old Man Gaming is provided by the man who makes music, my brother Nick Van Siders. We thank you for that. Good God, we're gonna be right back for Fan Interaction.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our first segment, our most important segment. That's where we, the co-hosts, talk to you guys, the fans. We read out all your comments. We talk to you about them. We riff on them. We argue with them. We agree with them. It's a mixed bag, really. being a fan of anything at Old Man Gaming is a mixed bag. I think that's fair enough to say.
That's pretty fair, yeah.
Right? Right? You never know what you're gonna get. You know, it might not be always good, but you're always gonna be surprised.
Until you're not.
yeah, but when you're not, you're surprised because you weren't surprised. See, we got it all
That's true.
covered. We got it all covered. Okay, so starting us off, Jason had a lot of comments. I think it's all Jason and then William Hohen. So here we go. Jason, number one. I think you misprinted. I legitimately thought that was I legitimately thought that was licensed from Disney Maui until now. I only saw him briefly in an ad and I skipped. I know. How has Disney not sent a cease and desist to Overwatch at
Yeah,
this point?
that
Like,
still is
that
absolutely
character, that's
insane.
straight up Maui. I think if Disney doesn't, like I said before, I think Overwatch just needs to start making characters that are very clearly Disney run properties and just put them into Overwatch with like a slight not my. He even has an M name. Like, just give him a slight name change, you know? Like, instead of Elsa, be like Ursa. Alyssa. Yeah, Alyssa. She has ice powers and she's blood. What? Continuing, Jason then goes, restartitis has long been known as ailment, whatever, among gamers. I didn't read that word right, but yeah, I mean, I got a little bit of restartitis. Actually, I started another game with Phil that we're not recording just to play when neither one of us. Because the one thing we notice when we're playing the BG show that's coming out. By the way, we do have a release date for that. Baldur's Gate 330 will be coming out starting the Monday after Thanksgiving. I don't have a calendar in front of me, and I will by the end of the show. But the Monday after Thanksgiving will be the first episode of Baldur's Gate 330. We have 5 episodes in the bank. I definitely want to get some more in the bank, but we're ready to at least start pumping them out. We were recording. One downside about that, Neil, is like I can do Redfall down even until I'm really tired, because like it's just me saying stupid shit. It's just all of us saying stupid shit. Yeah. Or even the Lasso 3. Like anything we do, it's like I can say stupid shit till the cops come home. But we're trying to actually roleplay our characters for sections of this game. And like, there's a point where I'm like, I can't role play anymore. I can't do it. So we were done with that, but I was like, I don't want to go to bed though. So you just want to start another one. So I started another new character. He is a gnome fighter with a greatsword who looks like a punk rock, like a punk rock fighter. And Phil's character looks like the Predator. He made a dragonborn that ranger that looks like a predator from the Predator movies. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Part of me wishes we had recorded that one, honestly. And then continuing on, Jason says, BG3 is infamous for its pandering. Well, Philbilly will agree with you. I don't see pandering. I just see cool characters. That's just how I am. I see cool, interesting characters. Totally fine if you guys think it's pandering. I don't. Moving on. D&D 5 edition has 3 levels of cover. Half cover is a +2 AC / dex save. 3/4 cover is a +5 AC / dex save. And then full cover can't be directly attacked. Yeah, they don't have that in the game. It is one of the big downsides. There's no cover whatsoever in the game. There's obscured to where they can't see you. I mean, I guess there is full cover, because if you cannot be witnessed by the person, then they can't shoot you. But overall, there's no cover in the game.
Yeah, yet they still have high ground and low ground.
They do.
That still throws me off. The cover thing, the path being interrupted right now is a big gripe that I have.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there's sometimes it just doesn't make sense.
Oh.
Because
I think maybe you fiddle with the camera, because every time I look at it and I'm like, oh, that doesn't make sense, I'll start fiddling with the camera, and then I'll be like, oh, I see how it's interrupted.
I know they're very particular about movement. So, like, one thing that I'm playing the Dragonborn Barbarian.
Okay.
And I picked up a fantastic javelin weapon that returns whenever I throw it.
Yeah.
So I now Phil's have range capability. I love it. I love it to death. So that way, if I can't immediately get into the action, I can still throw the javelin just fine.
Right.
But there's been a couple cases. In fact, what we were doing just before we came down here, there was a point where I climbed all the way up to the top of where this dude was because I couldn't hit him. And I had a perfect line of sight. But there was like a statue off to like the left a little bit, even though it was still a perfect line of sight. It said that the path was interrupted, and no matter what I did, it wouldn't go. I'm like, I don't understand. Meanwhile, Gail, who was standing basically directly behind me, could whip a firebolt at him. I didn't understand.
Interesting. You know, honestly, like I said, I mean, I'm not saying that that isn't a problem, because I wasn't there, but, like, any time I have had that, I mess with the camera, and I eventually see, like, what they're talking about, because those camera angles, they get, like, as good as the game is, the camera angles do get a little, like, wonky at times. There's been one or two instances where I've gone to shove somebody off a cliff, and because I didn't have my camera positioned exactly where I probably should have, I end up just shoving him farther up the bridge. Because I didn't kind of, I wasn't looking at it at the right angle, you know what I mean? And now, like, whenever I go to shove, like, I'm very meticulous about where my camera is pointing when the shove is happening, and it got around that. So, like, I do think that is a little bit of an issue, but it's one of those, like, how do you, like, I think they did the best they could with that.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
But still, the cover isn't in the game. I would love there to be a little bit more cover. The game is very much about movement and where you are, and a little bit more about trading punches. But it's still really good. It's a minor gripe, as far as I'm concerned, on an overall possible game of the fucking century sort of game. Jason then continues, I don't like hype. I don't typically listen to hype. 100 years ago, my friend was all into the Spore hype, while I didn't listen to it. When Spore came out, I enjoyed it quite a bit, while my friend was disappointed. I mean, facts, not gonna argue with that, but I think there is still, like, you can't blame people for getting hyped when they get hyped, you know? Like, I mean, these companies, they go out of their way to, like, research how to hype people efficiently, you know? I think there's got to be some blame hoisted on them. You can't put it all on the, just don't listen to it, you know? Because not everybody is the same person, you know?
And it's definitely easier said than done in some of those situations.
Yeah. Well, like, and there is a level of, they're lying to you. You know what I mean? Right. Like still, like you can't just say, well, you shouldn't have gotten hyped. No, they were lying to us. They lied to us about this. You should still have outrage for that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, even as an adult, like, if some, like, if somebody tells you, like, hey, we're going to go to McDonald's, like, if you're a fan of McDonald's, for one, I'm not particularly a fan anymore because I'm old and none
weird,
of that
weird like choice death. For the example then.
Yeah, but I don't know. The metaphor is getting away from me. But if somebody tells you, hey, we're going to go to McDonald's and you're excited about going to McDonald's and then they take you to like Wendy's instead, you are maybe expecting McDonald's, but you right. are still getting burgers.
Right.
Like, right. it's not necessarily like, sure, okay, you're getting what you're getting, but it's not what you were promised.
Right. And then you ask them, you're like, hey, why didn't we go to McDonald's like you promised? And they're like, hey, Wendy's is just like McDonald's. Why are you complaining? Why did you expect McDonald's? You know, like, I hate this idea that like, don't get me wrong. And I mean, it's a little hypocritical of me to say this because I have said that like, on the show that like, if you want to stop having this shit happen to us, we need to start voting with our wallets and not buying. So I have said that and I stand by that, but at the same time, that doesn't mean we should let the companies off the hook for straight up fucking lying to us. But it doesn't mean I'm definitely never going to say like, so-and-so's a fucking idiot for spending their money on this game. You know, like you shouldn't have spent your money on that. I could see that they were overhyping it, but they still lied to you. You like they're still to blame just as much as somebody who listened to the hype. You know, I don't think the company should get a free pass just because it's hype or whatever. You know what I mean? It's still they're making promises they're not living up to, right?
Yeah, basically. And it's one of those things too. Like the hype sometimes is expounded by things like early announcements to where it gets announced, whatever it is announced stupid far in advance. And then, you know, you sit there and stew on it for a while and then you drip feed information about the game. Then people start doing that thing to where they're like looking in the backgrounds of images and seeing what they can see. I almost wonder if that's part of what happened with Starfield. because it was an information drought. And then finally they're like, here's like 15 minutes of gameplay. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, look at this stuff. Like, we've known that this is coming for years. You know, it's the same thing we talked about with Cyberpunk. You build this
game. I was about to say, I would say it's more like Cyberpunk. Starfield did not have the best feelings about it leading into it.
Well, I think that was external factors, like, you know, like this meta narrative of Microsoft being on a losing streak, whereas, you know, CD Projekt Red had always been like straight fire. And then, you know, they were like, hey, guys, it's here. And it's just like a plate of rotting fish, yeah. You know, that it's a little bit of a different thing. But like when you get limited information, basically that limited information, people whom you yourself have hyped up to want this thing, it's eventually just a train that's going to get away from you.
Right.
You can't say like, oh, hey, guys, you know, maybe don't talk about that sort of stuff, because then it's, you know, you're either countering your hype or you're trying to do that thing where you temper people's expectations with, truthfully, I think we need a bit more of, to some degree, done in a certain way, you know. But that's the thing, is like people build things up in their minds. They get this hype. It's 90% of the stuff is either not real or, you know, is being blown way out of proportion as to what it is. And then the game comes out and people hate it because it's not this magical unicorn that they thought it was going to be.
I'll agree with some of that. I do still think that there is a lot of very debased trickery going on with the game, especially with Starfield, when they would get on these big shows where everybody and their mother are watching it, and then they would make a promise, and then the next day they would go on a news cycle, which nobody's reading, and say, now this is what we really meant. You know, they knew what they were doing there. They were hyping up the casual people who aren't reading IGN for the full story. You know, like, I think that, like... And Starfield and Cyberpunk, boldface lied. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Cyberpunk lied about what you could do in that game, what that game was going to be, how that game was going to play. They straight up lied to us. Like, that's not even a hype train thing. They said things that didn't happen. Like, that's what that was. Like, I do think there is, like, something to be said about the drip. And, like, the fact that, like, a lot of these games, they'll announce something 4 years before it comes out, and they'll announce it with these broad, sweeping strokes that anybody is going to take and make it amazing in their head. You know what I mean? And then by the time that it gets to market, it's just not what that person has built it up to be. I still, however, aside from all of that, think that you still have to be honest with people, and Cyberpunk wasn't. You know, I don't really think Starfield was that honest. I mean, I don't think necessarily Starfield lied to us on anything. I think they used a lot of trickery to get around technically lying. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like it was a lot of, like, ice skating around, like, well, we didn't lie. I mean, we said something here, and then we explained it over here. Like, it's like, well, we said something over here on the bandstand, and then we wrote a little note on it and put it on a billboard at a restaurant that nobody goes to and expected everybody else to see that. Like, it's that kind of stuff that, like, there's all these little weird little ice skatery bullshit. And I think that can't be overlooked, right? Like, there is a level of blame that has to go on the person who is buying into the hype train, who's building a game up in their head, who's going out and spending money on something that's an untested product that they can't get a refund for. But there's also a lot of blame that goes on the companies, or a lot of blame that should go on the companies that are finding ways to trick people, who are lying to people, who are creating these hype trains, who are feeding you shit in a industry that has no refund policy. You know what I mean? So it's definitely like, it's not as cut and dry as just don't believe the hype. You know what I mean? Right. Like, definitely look at hype with more cynicism than you did before. But at the same time, let's not let these companies off for doing some shady-ass bullshit, you know? Moving on. Jason, people are still acting like Starfield is the greatest thing ever, and it's just not even a contender. Who is acting like it's the greatest thing ever? Like, its review scores weren't that good, you know, was it? Like, it's funny. To my understanding, it's a middle of the road thing. Like, everybody's like, hey, it's not terrible, you know? Is it really like getting that much? I mean, it's tricky because everybody kind of concedes to the algorithm, right? So you're getting fed the stuff that you're watching, but nothing I watch really is like talking about Starfield anymore. Like, yeah, it's, I don't know. Even the people who loved it on day one aren't like releasing Starfield videos anymore.
It's funny you bring it up because I just did all my stuff for the Horrible Game Awards a little bit ago here.
Yes, I saw.
And I'm sitting. I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, I actually kind of figured that we were kind of getting close to the point. If I didn't do it before we did this, I would have gotten a stern talking to.
What I love too is everybody's like, well, maybe at the deadline, I'll get this in by the deadline. I'm like, you realize I have a fuck ton of work to do. So like if I get the last one at the deadline, it gives me like 2 hours to put the nominations video together. Like, please get it to me early so that I could put it together early and I have days to do it.
But like I'm sitting here looking at my list and I'm running through all the games that I played. I'm like, okay, I'm, you know, thinking this, thinking that, all the different things. Not once did I even think about Starfield in any of this. Like, I forgot that I played it. Yeah. Not I remembered that I played it and it didn't deserve a spot. And I think that's more of an insult to the game overall.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing is, like, I'm one of those people to where I feel like it's more of a sin for a game to be just blah than bad or good.
Yeah. I mean, I would say this, and I don't want to spend too much time on Starfield, but I would say this. I also think Starfield, if it had released last year, we'd be having a completely different conversation.
Yeah.
Or even the year before that. The two years before this have been, there have been some good games out. Nobody's going to question that. But it would have been much bigger if it had been released in either one of those 2 years. You're in a year with BG3, it's Remnant 2, Dave the Diver. Yeah, like this fucker, like everything has come out this year. DLC for everything has come out this year. I don't think that, like, I think it definitely hurts from that, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay, so final comment. William Holen, hi, exclamation point. Thanks for the BG3 discussion. One of these days, I'll have a system that can play it, probably. who is surprised to see Microsoft becoming less consumer-friendly now that their big acquisition went through? Not this guy.
Right.
Let's wait and see how bad it becomes as the years go by. It's going to get pretty bad, everybody. Pretty bad. Zach, I'm enjoying Streets of Rage 4 binge. And was looking at River City Girls as more brawler to play. Should I start with the first, or is it a waste of time and should just start with River City Girls? Do River City Girls 2. I like River City Girls. The first one is a good game. It is a solid game. River City Girls 2 is all of that game plus all of like two other games. You know what I mean? Like, it is the same game. It's 75% more quality, and quantity. And on top of that, I would honestly go ahead and say the story is not something, like, River City Girls is very tongue-in-cheek, like, even more tongue-in-cheek than a Streets of Rage. So it's not like you're necessarily going to miss out on any, like, key story elements from the River City Girls saga. They're going to fill you in right off the bat, and it's pretty, like, pretty tongue-in-cheek, you know? It's the loosest excuse for school children to beat the crap out of an entire city, basically. So, like, you're not even going to miss out on, like, story beats or anything. So I would say just go right to River City Girls 2. It is 100% the more superior game. And, like, and I'll say this, River City Girls is not bad. It is an amazing brawler. It's just River City Girls is River City Girls 1. I'm sorry, River City Girls 2 is River City Girls 1 with 100% more stuff in it. So get that, Will. And then finally, he finishes with hashtag Neil's gonna play that Mobile Kingdom Hearts game. No, yeah, yeah. Who did wants see... the bet? Who wants the bet?
Did you see the hard drive article that I shared on Facebook?
No, I didn't.
It was something like Square Enix announces that you'll need like a math degree to figure out what the name of the new Kingdom Hearts title is, or something like that.
Great. Yeah, just make it even more ridiculous, guys.
It's, yeah.
Well, that's it. That's it for fan traction, man. So today we're going to talk about the maker genre, like Mario Maker, those kind of things, the RPG Maker, stuff like that. Like, just get into the maker genre. I have some interesting thoughts on this. And yeah, we're just going to discuss this genre. And so we will be right back with that.
Horrible.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our talking point. We're talking about the maker genre today. This was something Neil came up with, and honestly, I didn't have anything to talk about. The VGA nominees, or as we like to call it, Keighley's Fuckfest, comes out tomorrow. So we'll probably talk about that on next week's show, but we don't really have that right now. Like, they will probably be out when this is releasing. We recorded this before said event happened, as per se usual with us. So next week is probably when we will be discussing them. So we didn't really have a ton of stuff to talk about this week. So Neil brought this in. He wants to talk up the major genre. So I'm going to let you lead this one, Neil.
So, you know, it's kind of weird because with Super Mario Wonder coming out, it just kind of makes me think about, you know, 2D Mario games. And then it brings to light the Super Mario Makers. Those fun little, they kind of took over the internet, you know, a while ago, to where you just make your own Mario levels and either just play them yourself or set them up online, have other people go through them. It's kind of weird that something so popular and such topic for a game hasn't been more broadly explored. I mean, there's been a little bit of build your own stuff. Of course, racing games have always had build your own tracks, and a Nintendo kind of toyed around with Legend of Zelda dungeon builder in the Link's Awakening remake. But I was just wondering, you know, what other games out there would be prime for the pickings for a maker?
Well, I do want to just go ahead and point out there is an RPG Maker MZ on Steam that's pretty decent. There was something else that I had saw recently. It's not called a maker, and I don't remember the name of it, but you basically make, like, Zelda levels for other people to go through, so you could go through their Zelda levels and stuff like that. Not Zelda, but, like, that style, top-down. Yeah. And then, of course, I would actually argue that Meet Your Maker is kind of a maker game, even though it's not... Yeah. It's not necessarily a genre from somewhere else, but, like, you're definitely making something that somebody else has to go through. Yes. And those have been relatively successful. I know exactly where my brain's going with this, just because that's where my brain has been lately, because of the stuff that I've been doing with my game and my channel and stuff like that. But I don't want to steal your thunder on this one, but honestly, I would do, like an RPG maker, like picture BG3, right? But you make up the storyline, you put the bad guys around, you put the levels around, so like you're a digital game master for somebody else, you know? And it doesn't necessarily have to be Dungeons and Dragons, it can be anything, but like that would be something that I would want, like not necessarily an RPG maker, but a TTRPG maker, you know what I mean? Where you come up with the storyline too, you put the story together, you know, the choices that the people can make. I think that would be really awesome if you had a engine for that, you know? And I think that would be, to me, that's something that we've always missed. We've gotten a lot of, like, Dungeons and Dragons games over the years and a lot of RPG games over the years. I don't know why anybody hasn't ever thought to do, like, that kind of thing, where you have that full pen and paper experience, where you're not just playing your game, like their game, you're playing somebody else's, like another GM's game, basically.
Yeah, definitely something like that. I feel like they were kind of getting, like, looking at that and progressing slowly towards that with those, like, asymmetrical, like, there was the one Fable game.
Yeah.
What was it? Fable Legends?
Never came out. Was, yep.
Like, never got came canceled. Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where somebody played as, like, the game master mm-hmm. and, like, placed enemies in places. They kind of did that with the one Resident Evil thing, too, yeah. if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm.
Asymmetrical.
Something along those lines. Yeah, the asymmetrical is definitely, like, something that was knocking on the door of what you were looking at there.
I wish they'd go walk away from the asymmetrical thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to be, like, I don't want it to be a live play. I don't want it to be the game master is on there necessarily. Here's what I would do. Like, if I was pitching this game, like, elevator pitch, I would say, as a game master, like, you have a really good engine for placing bad guys and putting together story beats, right? But what I would say is, every time somebody plays your quest, right, it makes a record of that on the server that you can watch. That would be absolutely fucking awesome. For me, as a game master, I would love that. Like, if I could make it, and then somebody plays through it, and then I could watch them play through it, watch their, like what they did, how they interacted with it, you know? And then, like stuff like that would be really cool. I think what you'd get even cooler if you found a way to work into the social part of that game, that you could send quests to the same groups of people, you know? So, like, hey, this four group, you went through my quest before. Here's a sequel to it, you know? Go through it. I want to see what happens, you know? You could do it privately, where, like, a person could make for specifically four people, or you could just, like, put it publicly out there, let anybody play it, you know? Obviously, you couldn't record everything that somebody did if it was just straight public, but you could have it to where, like, the game itself is like, well, this is one play this week. Here you go, you can watch it, you know? I think that kind of stuff would be really cool from a TTRPG standpoint to kind of, like, have. I would play that a lot from both sides, basically. I would work on that a lot. And I think that, like almost like a CRPG maker, I guess, would be the best way to put it, would be something I'd love to see.
Yeah, definitely. I know they've had not just, like, what they have on, like, Steam and stuff like that, but they've mm-hmm. also had, like, you know, RPG maker, like dungeon builder, stuff like that. You know, my main go-to, which honestly I'm really surprised has not been a thing and not really been attempted, is like a Sonic maker. Like,
oh yeah,
I feel like that's just like sitting there just screaming into the void, like, why has that not happened yet? Especially because Sega can't seem to build a fucking Sonic game to save their lives. Put it back to the fans, because the last time they did that, we got Sonic Mania. I'm not mad. Nobody's mad. Definitely not me. But yeah, no, I think that something like that would be fun. You have just, like, general pieces of maps, like loops and stuff like that, that you just snap together like a track builder mm-hmm. in like a racing game or something.
Yeah.
Slap different coats of paint on it based off of like different environments and stuff like that.
It could be just like Mario Maker, honestly.
It would be literally just like Mario Maker. Yeah. And then from there, have the ability to even build your own bosses, like,
for the people
who just like want the easy way out, like, you know, have a pre-built one that, you know, functions a specific way, maybe have, like, you know, enemies and stuff happening on the screen at the same time while the boss is going, or have like a separate advanced mode where you can tweak like how things, like if you hit this part of, you know, the piece, then something else is going to happen, to where you can like make your boss have to be beaten in a specific way, like, you know, Sonic games were.
I think that's a really cool idea. I honestly, the whole platforming genre, I don't know why they haven't like followed the Mario Maker. And I'll one up you. Metroidvania, Castlevania, like, let us have a Castlevania maker. Just get the castle. Like, the level's already pre-done. Here's the castle. Place the stuff wherever you want. You know what I mean? Like, a blank canvas for the castle. Or, like, if you just even had just the map from Symphony of the Night, but you could just put stuff where you wanted to put stuff, man, I'm all in. You're getting all my cash at that point, from a couple of different standpoints. I think, and then of course you have the Metroid part of that, where people would love that. People already do stuff like that with the randomizers, to get that kind of experience. The only thing I'll say, and this is one of the reasons I stay away from the maker genre overall, is that it unfortunately goes hand in hand with this torture gaming that people like are really into now. The same as like the Dark Souls and all of that, where like it's not about like just making a fun level, it's about like just the most insane terrible shit that you have to do to get through something. That just frustrates me. Like, I hate that. Mario Maker tends to do that a lot. And then you end up with their algorithm. That was one of the things that, because I actually got that game from Melissa because she's a big Mario fan. One of her biggest problems was, like, everything that gets suggested to me are insane things that I can't possibly do. You know, like, I liked Mario just to play Mario and to find secrets in it, but nobody puts secrets anywhere. They do these insane fucking, like, jump on a turtle shell 3 times, jump over spikes stuff. And like, and she's like, but those get liked the most, so those are the ones that get sent to me.
Yeah.
And it's just not fun. And I agree with that. I wish that the maker genre as a whole, and this really includes Mario Maker, were better at differentiating like what you're trying to find on there and what you're trying to play on there. Because for me, I just thought, oh, it's endless content for Mario. But it's not. It becomes this weird, like, torture thing where, like, you're not making fun levels with a cool storyline for Mario or, like, with a cool thread. You're just trying to see how hard you can make something for somebody else, you know?
It's funny because the prime example of that was actually back whenever they did Mario Maker on Game Grumps the first time around.
Yep.
And Ross was making levels.
Yes, yeah.
And it was the rule with the Mario Maker stuff, I believe it still holds true with the second game.
Yes.
Is you have to be able to beat the level to be able to post it online. Yeah. So you look at this fucking gauntlet of impossibility, and it's like, how in the world did this person make this map and do this? Well, surprise, there's a tiny little hidden block back here that when you hit it, there's a teleport that takes you right to the very end, so you don't have to play the level at all.
Right.
Stuff like that.
But you never see it if you didn't know it was there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of workarounds.
Stuff like that ruins the fun.
It does. It does. And it's one of the things that keeps me from like getting into like that Zelda Maker game that I was talking about or the RPG Maker, because I'm very afraid that I'm going to go to play somebody else's and it's going to be like, ha, 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 welcome to your pounding. Yeah, like it's like, I don't want to play like that. I don't necessarily play games for difficulty. Like, don't get me wrong. I like a challenge, and every once in a while I like a challenging game. In the right spot, it's really awesome, and it can give you a really awesome sense of achievement. Like, Remnant 2 is a very hard game. I enjoy that game quite a bit. But at the same time, like, I don't play for difficulty. That's not my number one reason to get into something. I want more to it than that. And, like, sometimes the maker genre tends to do this thing where it's, like, all about difficulty. And I don't like that. I wish it would move away from that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
What are you thinking? What would you like to see in the maker genre other than those two?
You know, one that I think would be very interesting but would be very difficult to pull off is the making of a sport game of some sort, where you make up your own game.
Yeah.
I personally have always been a huge fan of Griffball in Halo.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that started as a joke in Red versus Blue. And then somebody actually turned it into a game mode that had been carried through. And I think still, I don't know if it's in Halo Infinite, but it had been carried all the way through Halo 5.
Yeah.
To where it was take the bomb as the ball, basically, and get it to the goal on the other side. And everybody else who doesn't have the ball has hammers and swords. Take it out. Something like that is fun on its surface, taking a game and turning it into a sport like that. But take that and expound upon it. Do you want a sport that is based off of getting a thing to a specific place? Like scoring goals. Is it something that you use your legs for? Is it something you use your hands for? You'd have to be able to make the rules for it and how it would function. Something like that would take a dedicated game engine, though, and a lot of know-how on how to make stuff like that.
You know, it might be easier than you think, man, because just mentioning that, I got to bring up Fire Arcade Pro Wrestling, right? It's bit versions, but it doesn't really have any like licensed characters in it. It's just all about community created characters. So you could create, it's all like 16-bit era looking stuff, but you create the mats, you create the rings, you create the wrestlers, you create everything, you know, from the ground up, and then you can share all that shit online, almost like you're creating your own wrestling league for other people to look at. And I'll go one further. You look at WWE 2K23, right? Or any of the 2Ks for that matter, that's what Universe Mode is. Like, I know that, like, the original intent of Universe Mode is to kind of play with the shows and everything in the way you want to, but you can download, because you can create a show on the 2Ks, you can download a created show from somebody else, download created wrestlers, go into Universe Mode, change the roster to just be your created wrestlers in your show, schedule out when you want them on the card, and then do it however you want to do it. You know what I mean? I've said repeatedly that 2K23 is the most superior wrestling game because graphically it's good, it's at least decent, and its creative suite allows people to make any wrestler and any wrestling league. So it's not really just WWE 2K23, it's AEW 2K23, it's Impact 2K23, it's MLW 2K23, it's NWA 2K23, it's anything you can think of. You just play that one because it's already established, it's already there. It's going to be hard for any other wrestling game, i.e. AEW Fight Forever, to take any shares away from them. You know what I mean? Because they're a complete package for that. But, like, that's a sport game that's already kind of doing it. Like, it's doing it in a very different way. But, like, if you think about what the 2K23, like, brand could be with all of the money behind it, if they took all the WWE stuff out, all of the, like, single-player stuff out, all the other modes out, and just made it the universe about creative characters and stuff, you'd have a maker right there. And I think if they could do it, you could do it with a sports game real easily. And I think that would be really fucking fun. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying about, like, are they using a ball? Are they on a hockey rink? Are they on this? You know, and how does that ball's physics work? But still, I think it would be very possible. That would be a really interesting genre to, like, dip your toes into, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I would like to see more Maker wrestling games on that subject. I would love to see something that is graphically at least comparable to a AAA game that is more about the Maker aspect of it, the more about the, like, running a show and the GM stuff. I've pitched it repeatedly when our horrible arenas have come up. I want to see the matches. I want to see them good. That's why I play 2K23, but I never play that game. I don't know the button schemes. I don't know how to play it normal wrestlers. I put wrestlers in matches together and watch the match play out in front of me. That's the fun of it for me, is running the show. And there's a lot of other people that do that that are the same way as me, who want to run the show, who want to have that kind of, like, agency over it. And I think that, like, you can have some really fun times with, like, a Maker game that isn't necessarily about playing wrestling. It's about making your own league. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I mean, this could apply to any sort of Maker genre. If it can spin off its own sub thing, like, that's where it, like, really truly shines. Like, we've been talking a lot of shit about Halo lately, but that Forge mode has come up with so many different game modes and things you can do. I didn't put it in my newsy bits, but there was, I was just recently reading an article that there was somebody who turned Halo Infinite's Forge mode. They turned it into an RTS, or a tactical RPG, rather.
Nice.
Tactical RPG. Like, just, you think Forge mode, and you hear that, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
How in the world? And then it's just like, wow, okay, somebody got really creative with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's at the heart of all of these sort of maker games.
Yeah.
Is not just the intent behind it, but taking those tools to a whole different level.
Yeah. I mean, you have some established franchises like Roblox, and anybody out there who doesn't think Roblox is a maker game, it's probably the world's most successful maker game ever. You know, as much of a trash fire as it could be sometimes, you know, I don't think there's anything you can't do with makers. And I love the idea of giving people, like, free reign. Like, you give them that easy engine to work with, they're going to make some really cool stuff for other people to play in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I think we've covered this. Is there anything else you want to add to this? You want to go to the newsy bits?
Let's go to them, our newsy bits.
I know, we're going to have to rename the segment, right?
I don't know why I keep calling them newsy bits.
I don't know, you said it once and now I keep following suit. So. All right, we'll be right back.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, that brings us to our last segment. And in true Zach fashion, I forgot to even talk about how many I had and how many Neil had before I started the recording again. So, how many you got, Neil?
Two.
I only have two, too.
Oh, my God.
I know. So, who wants to go first?
I'll go first with the one that probably you heard that you didn't put on the list.
Okay.
Because it was a pretty big one.
All right.
Nintendo officially announced they're making a live-action Zelda movie.
I did not see that. I'm surprised.
Really?
I'm surprised I did not see that, but I did not see that.
Interesting. Shigeru Miyamoto will be producing the movie alongside Sony Pictures, which I find is the prime, the most prime irony.
That is funny. I don't want this. I've said this before. I think that video games are their own medium that are equal, if not better, than movies. They are a thing that is based on your choice as a player. Like, interacts with you, and you interact with it. A movie is always going to be a pale comparison to an experience you had in a video game, in my opinion. And look, have there been good video game movies? There have been now. I liked Sonic 1 and 2. I enjoyed them. Do I think that watching the Sonic movie was better than playing a Sonic game? No. No, it wasn't. Do I think that a Zelda movie is going to do Zelda justice? I don't. I'm sorry, I just don't. Even if it's good, it'll be fine, but I don't want it. Like, why can't games be their own thing? Why is movies the, like, pinnacle of art? I don't understand why that is. I don't know. We're also getting into this thing where you see the superhero thing is dying, right? Like, you were having problems with superhero movies right now. DCU is on life support. You have Marvel is actually really starting to, like, falter and fail. Hollywood's looking for the next big franchise machine, and they've had some success in the video game era, in the video game area now. So now we're starting to get these video game announcements, like, one after another. I don't want four video game movies a year. Not to mention the fact that it's going to be bad for the video game industry, because the video game industry is going to start trying to follow suit in some way, shape, or form with movies. When comics, I was a comic book reader when Marvel got big and the superhero movies took off, right? Mm-hmm. It was terrible. I didn't read. I stopped reading Marvel. I switched to DC. I had been a Marvel fan my entire life. I switched to DC because of the awful effect that the movies had on the comic books in Marvel. the effect couldn't possibly be the same, but just that kind of stuff makes me scared, right? Like, when the superhero boom got big, the comic book companies started doing this thing where, like, well, if a Captain America movie's coming out, we're going to be getting new people in the door to buy Captain America comics. We don't want them to be coming in and seeing issue 56. So every time a movie would come out with a character that, they would restart the lineup. So they devalued number one. Like, number one used to mean something in the comic book industry. Like, if you had the number one of a comic book, it was an important thing because it was super rare, and it was the first, and it was the beginning. It was, like, the big collector's item, right? There are tons of number ones right now. There's plenty of Spider-Man number ones, plenty of Wolverine number ones, plenty of... Because every time one of these things would get a movie, they'd restart the series, even if they were only on issue 28 or whatever. That kind of stuff, like... kind of ruined the comic book industry in a lot of ways. It really hurt it, really fucked it up, and made me switch companies, honestly, because they couldn't keep track of their shit. I don't want that to happen to video games. Like, video games has enough problems. We don't need movies as another problem. You know, the effect of the movie industry on us.
Yeah, I think, though, if... there is one that might be easier to adapt without, like, ignoring the whole point of, like, the whole argument of, like, the saturation part of everything. Put that little asterisk there because,
right, yeah, I know what you're about to say.
To be there. Zelda is going to be one of those ones because it doesn't have, like, a story. It's many random stories that are, like, the telling of tales, you know, of things that have happened throughout history.
Yeah.
There's only been, like, two Zelda games that have gotten direct sequels. Breath of the Wild being one, and I believe the Link to the Past was the only other one that got a direct sequel.
No, Mask of Majora is three.
Majora's Mask.
Majora's Mask is a direct sequel to Ocarina of Time. It is. It is. Yeah, it is.
I mean, I know it's all the same in-engine stuff, but Terminal and everything's not...
It's 100% a sequel. It's a sequel from the standpoint of the timeline splits on Ocarina of Time.
Right.
And in the kid timeline, it's a direct sequel of the kid timeline after Ocarina. Like, that Link, that kid Link, is the Link from Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
I will send you a video.
No, I'm not fighting you on it. I'm not fighting you on it because I know there's timey-wimey weird already, let alone with Ocarina.
Yeah. They really fucked up their continuity all to hell. Like, it's close to Kingdom Hearts insanity when you really look at it.
So then there's three. There's only ever been three direct sequels.
That I can think of anyway.
Yeah, I think the Oracle of Seasons and Ages is a sequel as well, but I'm not 100% on that, especially because it was like a Capcom. It was a whole weird thing. But anyways, I feel like that's one that can get away with telling its own story because each one basically has its own story.
Well, and the thing is I don't necessarily think it'll be a bad movie. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what
I'm
saying.
It's just going to open the door.
Right. You're opening a door to shit. Like, that's the problem. It's like, this is like the third or fourth video game movie announcement we've gotten in the last year. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like next year we're going to have a lot of video game movies coming out, year after that, same way, and it's going to start to ramp up. And that's something that makes me nervous. It's not even that I necessarily think it'll be a bad movie. I think Zelda is a good property for a movie if you're going to do one. It's just... I'm really afraid that, like, 5 years from now we're going to get a Super Smash Brothers movie. I don't want that.
I was about to say.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want the Avengers of video games. I don't want that shit. Like I don't want that shit. Okay. So is it my turn?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to go with the crappy one first. It's not really that crappy, but esports is having a rough time. And they have just announced that Overwatch League is going to be canceled. It is ramping down and then it is shutting its door. Overwatch League has been around since Overwatch, obviously. And it was kind of the reason for Overwatch, is that Blizzard was like, let's make a sport out of this. There's an esports community already. Let's make a whole thing out of it. So they made their, like Overwatch League is like basically the NFL of Overwatch, right? Like, it's just all about teams and team play and everything like that. They've lost team after team after team. Their divisions have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. Their ratings have gone down and down and down. So it is closing. And I would say this is the biggest blow to esports in a long time. Because, correct me if I am mistaken, but Overwatch was one of the biggest, Overwatch League was one of the biggest televised MLS thing out there.
Yeah,
not MLS, MLB thing out there. Sorry. Not soccer. Overwatch soccer. Gaming.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, there, it's just adding to all of the different things out there. Nintendo recently, with all of their rules about Smash tournaments and everything like that, that came out, that the entire community basically said, this is it for this community. Nintendo's rules are killing, you know, are killing everything. I think MLG is one of those things that really took off in, what was that, like 2009?
It was a while ago.
When it really started kicking off. And then I think it wasn't given the chance to develop into something before, like, colleges started having esports leagues and stuff, like actual professional sports teams.
Mm-hmm. Like, you could get a scholarship for playing video games for a while there.
At work, actually, the other day, there was somebody who their kid got a scholarship to Akron because of their esports, for their esports team. Wow. It's like, that's really interesting. And it's just like one of those things to where, I guess, but, you know, we don't know. It was such a small thing, and it's being treated like it's, you know, the NFL. It's too much too fast. Something like that doesn't have a foundation to stand on before it crumbles. And we're starting to see the crumbling.
Can I tell you the thing, in my opinion, that hurt the MLG the most? So you take a sport, right? Like an actual sport, right? What people don't realize is the reason people are into it is the ritual. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's the over-the-top, like, cheering. There's the wanting your team to win. There's the knowing the players and stuff. That's all cool. I'm not saying that's not part of it. But there's a ritual to it. It's one of the reasons football's so big. It's like going to church. You wake up Sunday, you're watching your football games, you got your friends over, you got your jersey on. Like, it's your comfort. It's comfort food, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it releases that part of your brain that's like, this is happiness. You know what I mean? This is comfort. This is cozy. You can't do that when the sport is constantly changing. Plus, there's no, like, unifying game, right? There's no MLG game, right? That is, this is the game that you play, right? Even if you're in a genre like fighting games, like, every year the fighting games change, and what the fighting games are going to be change, that changes every year. So there's no way to, like, batten down exactly what the there's no way to get the ritual, you know what I mean? There's no way to get that ritual out of it, because they'll be playing a game you don't care about, and then you don't want to watch it. You know, I really wanted to get into MLG, but they never had, like, I wanted to watch For Honor, right? For Honor did one MLG thing. I loved it because I love For Honor. I love watching For Honor. I loved it. Can't play it as well anymore, but I loved it. I'd still watch it if it was there. It's not there. It's just like you have it, and then it wavers and it's gone, and then it comes back, and then it's like, there's no ritual. There's no way to get into it. There's no way to be like, well, this season, this person is that. I challenge anyone, even an MLG fan, to tell me the structure of the seasons. You know what I mean? Like, at least Overwatch League had one game, they had specific teams, and they had a running season. that was the best attempt. But at the same time, at that point, if you're not a first-person guy and you're not an Overwatch guy, are you really going to watch Overwatch League? No, you're going to try and find the RTS League. Well, the RTS League uses, like, StarCraft or some other shit, you know? Biggest problem with MLG is MLG was this encompassing video game thing that you could never really pin down. It was always mercurial. Like, there's no way, like, to say you're the champion of MLG. You can't be the MLG champion. You have to be the champion of this game or the champion of that. And I think that, like, just sports in general needs that ritual to really survive, and MLG never had it.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It was a novel idea. Like, even, like, everything has its own little subsect. I think, honestly, the fighting game arena with Evo is the closest that there really is. But even still, like you'd mentioned, they're rotating out the games every single year. And honestly, with Nintendo's new rules, I will be astounded if it doesn't put the kibosh on Smash. Like, in its entirety anyways.
I mean, they might start going to All-Stars Brawl. I heard that the Nickelodeon 2 actually was good this time around.
Which is insane.
Surprising. Yeah. I think that, like, you're always going to have those subsects, right? There are people who are crazy for fighting game stuff, and there's always going to be the tournaments. But I think, as a whole, it's very hard to broadcast that stuff when there's all those when video games as a whole changes on a day-to-day play period, even the game. Like, I downloaded an update for Baldur's... I've downloaded 4 updates for Baldur's Gate 3 in the last 2 weeks. Like, even on that level, the games change constantly. How are you supposed to be up on the information, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Your turn.
All right, so my last one, continuing the theme of what we've been talking about now for, this is going to be the third week in a row, Halo Infinite. Halo Infinite keeps screwing everything up. So they announced the classic Halo skin. So it basically is an armor set that makes it look like, you know, the old polygon version of Master Chief. It costs $22.
Wow.
More than Halo 1. I can't. Like, it is so absolutely asinine what they're doing with the monetization on this. Like, I've complained about it before, but I'm going to take the time to complain about it here again just one more time. When Halo 5 came out and they had those little rec packs that you could buy, I saw the writing on the wall at that point.
Yeah.
I knew what they were going to be moving towards. I knew what it was going to be. I hoped, I prayed that it's not what it was going to be. And, I mean, honestly, technically it wasn't, because the rec packs were loot boxes.
Yep.
And now it's just an actual cash storefront that you spend stupid amounts of money. I mean, yes, multiplayer is free. Fine. Go ahead and make that argument. I understand they have to make money. Cool. But it's the shit that we've talked about before, like the predatory pricing, to where you can't just buy, you know, enough to get what you need. You always have some left over, but not enough to get exactly what you need. So then from there, you have to spend like $5 more than you actually wanted to.
Right.
Stuff like this, where they like we were talking about last week, it's like, oh, we so sorry. You guys want to use your colors more than once. We got to make them more expensive. Like, No, you don't. It's literally a color. I don't understand. And now this, something that is supposed to be a celebration of the anniversary of the original Halo 1 launch, is more so a mockery of it, basically.
It's weaponized.
More expensive.
Weaponized nostalgia. That's what these game companies love to do. They weaponize your nostalgia against you. and it's ridiculous. I don't know how Halo Infinite is still surviving at this point, honestly. Like, it blows my mind that that thing is hasn't alienated all its fans yet, you know?
Yeah.
My final one's a throwaway, so we're gonna be done probably a little bit early today. Chucky is coming for Dead by Daylight. Finally, the murder doll is in it. He's been requested for a long time. I'm very interested to see what they do to him. Just given the nature of Dead by Daylight, you have to kind of like hoist up a body and put it on a hook. Chucky's a small doll. How is he gonna do that? So I think that'll be really interesting. Just to see. Dead by Daylight, again, don't love their monetization structure either. Don't like the way they charge for the game. But they have done a really good job of maintaining their game, keeping their game good, and releasing interesting, engaging content, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is off the heels of Nicolas Cage. So, like, it's very interesting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember just reading that article and it was like, oh, very interesting. It's like, mm-hmm. it's something that I can see that and actually be, you know, kind of interested in the article, you know, not even being a player of that game.
Yeah, they do a good job of maintaining it. I will give them that prop. I don't think that they should charge for it, especially when they charge as much as they do for the stuff in game, but they do a really good job of maintaining it. So, that is it for odds and ends then, right?
I do believe.
All right, guys, we're going to do plugs, and then we're going to be done.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that brings us to the end of the show and the shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, do you have anything you would like to plug?
It sounds like we're going to be about done recording the final episodes of Redfall Down, so we never have to play it ever again, unless they have some sort of DLC or something.
No.
Which I don't think they're going to at this point, but
unless it's free. If it's free, I'll go back into it with you guys. If it is any,
free at this
if
point,
they ask for any for amount it. Of money for any sort of content, I will be like, no, I'm not doing that. I've moved on to bigger and better things. Is that all you wanted to plug? I kind of interrupted there because you asked me a question.
That was basically
that's it.
I mean, it's that and this. That's all I really got going on.
So for me, I do want to say the Monday after Thanksgiving, which even though I promised to look up the time, I forgot to look up the time. I'm looking up the time now. It will be Monday the 27th of November this month. We'll be releasing a new Let's Play series, Baldur's Gate 330. Myself and the Buildmaster General, Footbilly 330, play Baldur's Gate 3, and we try to roleplay our characters, which is doofy silliness at best. The first episode will be coming out on the 27th of November. Excited about that. In addition to that, please buy my game. If you are a TTRPG person, tabletop role-playing game person, I have released a game. It is only $6. It is on itch.io. Search single mod. It's fun. Light rules. Easy to play. Check it out. In addition to that, we have a lot of TTRPG stuff on the channel, but we are also continuing to trudge along with OMGM on Thursdays. Prelude took a week off this week, but hopefully we'll be back next week. And then back for a while. And then, Redfall Down still comes out on Saturdays. And I believe our next recording session will be the last recording session we ever have to do of that game. however, you guys still have probably about 3 to 5. You guys have like, I want to say 4 to 5 episodes before you're going to be done if you're watching it. And then that's it, guys. That's it. Check out everything we have to offer. We have a lot of stuff. You guys can also reach us on Facebook at OmegaMDH, on Twitter at OmegaMDH. Join our Discord. Links in the description below. Influence this and all of our shows from there. As long as you keep watching and listening, we will keep making. We will see you guys next time.
Did you see they're doing a John Wick anime?
No, I didn't. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what that's going to wind up being.
Is it going to have John Wick in it?
I think so. I didn't. There wasn't a ton of information from what I saw on it.
Oh, man. The John Wick people, man. Cool off, guys. Cool off. Take a beat. Because you did not do good with Continental. I really don't want you to oversaturate and ruin this. Like, I don't want this to be the new MCU. Please, just take a second. Focus on the ballerina. Like I don't need 37 different things in the John Wick universe, you know?
Yes. Yes, all it says is John Wick anime confirmed to be in the works. And I don't think it's like the anything that they've told so far. I wonder if it's like a filler thing. Mm. Yeah, it's just a lot's unknown. I don't know, man. Like it's this fatigue now already. It's like they're doing just what Guerrilla Games did.
Yeah, that's my problem. Like, I'm not even oversaturated yet. It's just I see it on the horizon. Like I see a horizon of John Wick spinoffs and continuity edits, and I'm like, guys, these are some great movies. Let's not ruin this. Like, I'm not against them making more movies in the universe and making more shows in the universe. Let's just take our time with each one. Let's not release three a fucking year like MCU does. Let's just do a couple. I mean, because we've already seen that that's not going so well for MCU now. They're up to 33 movies, not including the series. And the Marvels was the worst opening they have ever had, ever. And from what I understand, critically and audience-wise, everybody loved it. So, like, yeah,
it was so good. Like,
here's the thing. That means that you have oversaturation, period. Like, you've done too many fucking movies. Like, chill the fuck out. Like, people don't want to hear from you anymore, you know? Things stop being cool when you force it down our throat every fucking, six times a year, you know?
Well, I know, like, with the MCU stuff, at least, Disney's been pumping the brakes, but now it's more akin to, like, they're pumping the brakes, but the brake line's been cut.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, they want to stop, but they can't.
Yeah.
I mean, they have.
They started the boulder rolling down the hill, and then they decided 2 minutes before it hit the town that they didn't want the boulder to roll down the hill anymore. It doesn't work that way. That village is fucked.
And that's the thing, is like the last good like show, the only show that they really had that took off, Loki. With, I mean,
yeah.
Spoilers if this makes it in at all.
Might,
but Loki's done now. Like, and Tom Hiddleston has already said, like, you know, I'm stepping away for a while. Not that he's like completely done with Loki per se, but there's nothing for him to do with the character right now with where they're at in the MCU.
Right.
They've just been cranking out content. That was their mantra during COVID, mm-hmm. which is why we got so many shows. And now they're literally, they have so much built up. There's that Echo show that's going to be coming out next year.
Mm-hmm.
It tested so poorly. And they don't want to waste it. They're just dumping the whole series all in one go mm-hmm. in January.
Yeah.
Their movies, like, they need to just go back to two movies, maybe one show. Like, that's it. Like,
I don't even think that matters. I think they need to take a fucking year off and do a movie a year and just relax for a little bit.
They tried that after Endgame. And I think that did pretty well for them for a while. But then, you know, Endgame was that time when COVID rolled around.
So yeah,
they had to ramp it back up.
They were kind of forced into it. I think that, there's just too much of that shit. It's just too much of it. You got to chill out. You got to rebuild the town after the boulder hits before you can start with another boulder. Like, there's just no way.